Data Bytes. Hello everyone, welcome to our latest episode on the Denodo Data Bytes series. I'm your host Neha, and let's welcome our guest this week, Inessa Goh, who is the Director of Product Management at Denodo. To let you know a little bit about Inessa, Inessa has diverse experience in the integration, data quality, and master data management space. She is also highly skilled in navigating data fabric, enterprise architectures, and pretty much the overall data ecosystem, ensuring that businesses derive true value from their data. We're very excited to have you on board, Inessa, and really looking forward to our conversation today. So before we begin our topic that we'll be discussing today, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Denodo for our listeners, please?
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here. So to give you a little bit on the background, I'm the Director of Product Management at Denodo. I'm based out of New York, and I work extensively with our clients to really understand their needs, their challenges, and their use case. I also work closely with our product development team to translate the business needs from our clients into capabilities we can provide in our Denodo platform. My ultimate goal when I work with clients and our prospects is to ensure that the Denodo platform addresses their needs and fits into their existing enterprise ecosystem. We all know that in the enterprise, there are many moving pieces, and being a team player is key to making a client successful. So I'm very glad to be here, and it's going to be a very exciting topic when we talk about semantics and governance.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Inessa. I really like your approach of identifying pain points for our customers and helping solve them with the Denodo suite of products. So definitely thanks a lot for joining us. So today, like you mentioned, we will be talking about security and governance and how it's driven by semantics. So to begin with the basics, can you explain the concept of data semantics and what is the meaning of semantic definitions in the context of data security?
Good question. And it's always good to level set to make sure we all speak the same language when it comes to data. When we look at the data, when we look at different environments across our diverse ecosystem, we usually look at the technical metadata, such as the tables, the views, the fields, the columns. But the technical metadata usually does not provide enough business context to the final consumers, the analysts, the business users. So the semantic layer is this middle layer, which can be used to capture the business information from the technical data, create relevance to your consumers, and essentially create a semantic model which is going to define what does it mean to be something. Here's a very funny story I have working with one of our clients in the past. It's actually from the education system. So let's take a look at a very simple question. Getting a list of all the registered students. Simple question. However, in reality, if you are going to ask this question to multiple data consumers, let's say different departments in college, you are going to get different responses. And this is exactly what I had with one of the clients, because the way they defined a registered student was different. And this is where semantics enable you to define what does it mean to be a student, what values it has, where the information is coming from. Does it mean that the student has, in this example, paid the tuition, actually started their classes? So having the semantic definition of what does it mean to be a certain entity domain, be that student, supplier, client, patient, peer, is very important because it provides the definition for the business of how they can consume the data.
So continuing on our discussion about data semantics, how does the concept of data semantics relate to data security and governance? What is the role of a data catalog in this context? Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Well, semantics plays a very big role when it comes to security. Traditionally, when we look at data, we are applying security data access controls. Who can see what data, what records they can access based on the role, saying, well, maybe the user who has an HR role can see certain information which marketing is not allowed to see. However, if you apply the semantic definition on top of the data, saying, you know what, we are going to identify all of the instances of sensitive data or data of interest, let's say contact information or PII data, as it relates to different fields across different tables, across different data assets. I'm going to use the semantic definition, let's say sensitive or PII or email, and then I'm going to create a policy saying, you know what? If the user has a certain role when trying to access any data containing the semantic definition, that tag, that classification, data should be restricted, or maybe it should be made available depending on the user role or user attributes. So semantic allows us to introduce additional business context, which then can be used to define the policies. The data catalog enables the business users, the data consumers, to see all of the data assets, the views, the web services, whatever it may be, which they can access, and the corresponding policies and corresponding semantic definitions which have been applied to it. So it truly gives the business consumers in a data catalog world a nice unified data shopping experience while still enabling them to access data, assuming they have a privilege to do so.
We have the raw technical data, and on top of that, we have a layer of data, which is like a data semantic layer that you were mentioning. And to kind of make sense of this data that we have is where we use the data catalog, right? Which gives our users data shopping experience, like you mentioned in your words.
Absolutely. The data catalog is designed for users who are non-technical to come in and see what data they have access to, how they can use it, who else is using it, and also have an option to collaborate with their team members. For instance, in a data catalog, you may want to expose information on usage, such as who else is using the certain data set. That information is going to improve the trust you have in consuming the data. Well, let's take an example. If I'm looking at the customer view as an example, or the customer data set, and I see that this customer data set has been utilized in multiple certified reports by multiple users, maybe even my manager, I'm going to trust this data set because I have the usage information. In the data catalog, it's also important to collaborate with team members in terms of sharing your knowledge, crowdsourcing. So if I can enrich the business context of a data asset because maybe I'm a data owner, or maybe because I'm familiar with a certain data set, I can update that information in a data catalog, and now other data consumers can see this information and they can use it. So we are collaborating, we're sharing our business knowledge, which does not exist in the data sources. It's something that's managed in the data catalog, and it's something that enables us as business consumers to share information, get recommendations on the related data assets, which means that we can navigate and generate business insights much quicker and improve our business. At the end of the day, it's all about getting the value from your investment.
Definitely. I'll have to agree there. So definitely at the end of the day, everybody wants to make sense of the data they have at hand to get value out of your investment. So totally, that makes sense. In fact, that was my next question for you. I just wanted to ask you, what were some collaborative features involved when it comes to semantics in the data catalog, which you pretty much answered, but I just wanted to quickly double check. Are there any other collaborative features that you would like to mention?
Absolutely, they are. So when we are talking about collaboration, we should really talk about different personas which are going to interact with tools such as data catalog. So you are going to have some users who have privileges to share their context, their business knowledge within the data catalog. For instance, maybe I'm the data owner who is able to categorize the data or classify the data. However, there may be other users who are not as privileged, and yes, privilege is a big term here, but they still have knowledge of the data. So as they're looking at your customer view, at the student view in the data catalog, they may have an option, well, they should have an option, to collaborate in terms of opening a request to the data owner or a data steward asking them to update the metadata. Maybe telling them, hey, my data, you know what? I'm familiar with the student data set. And the way we started to define what does it mean to be a registered student, going back to my initial example, is different because our timelines for getting a refund on our tuition has changed. So I'm not allowed to modify the business context myself, but I can open a request for my data steward to update the information. And then this is going to go through the standard request management workflow cycle. It's going to get approved, and the information is going to be reflected for the next consumer. So it's all about collaboration across different personas within the data catalog.
Thank you so much for sharing. My next question for you is, I know you touched upon this a little bit when we were discussing one of our other questions a few minutes ago, but can you take us through the tag-based security policies in Denodo?
Definitely. But before I go into the how we do it in Denodo, I'd like to bring in the use case that we have from our lives, especially if we have kids. I remember when my kids were little. What do we do as parents? Well, we normally try to child-proof our houses, apartments, wherever we live, because we don't want our kids to encounter unsafe conditions. Here's an example. You go around, you put the plug in every single outlet, you put the handle locks so they cannot open certain drawers because maybe there's some knives there, whatever it may be. So we are going artifact by artifact in our property, and we are securing it. So the child or a person who is role of a child cannot access those artifacts. Can you imagine if instead of doing it one by one, you were able to take the sticky note and put it on all of the dangerous items in your apartment, saying dangerous or inaccessible, and then automatically any user who is of the role child is not able to access it. No need to do the plugins, no need to do anything special. You just tag the items which are sensitive. The same applies to data. And this is a very interesting concept, which is very common in data governance. We're essentially, instead of applying access controls to every single table or every single data source, what we are going to do is we are going to define a set of tags, semantics, a tag for PII data, a tag for email, a tag for contact information, a tag maybe for credit information. And then we're going to say, you know what? This PII tag is applicable to 20 different fields coming from 10 different views coming from 5 different data sources. I'm tagging. I'm doing those sticky notes. And by the way, the email tag is applicable 27 different fields coming from 5 different tables coming from those two data sources. Again, I'm tagging. And then I'm going to create what we call a policy, a global policy in Denodo, saying that any user who has a certain role when trying to access any data tag, this PII or email or a sensitive, let's say data should be masked. This is role-based access controls based on the semantic. So if tomorrow I'm going to introduce another data asset, another view, another data source, because data is constantly in motion, I do not need to repeat the policy. All I need to do is put that sticky note, tag that new data asset, and my existing policies are going to be applied. More interestingly, in addition to doing policies based on roles, when it comes to data, it's important to create policies based on attributes. Here's an example. Maybe you have an employee who is going on international trip, and when they're in domestic location, they're able to access the sensitive data. But when they're traveling outside of the country, the access should be prevented. You can create policy based on an attribute saying that any external access or maybe any access outside of a certain IP range should be blocked. Again, it's very important to have flexibility to identify, tag, and then policies using this semantic definition. I wish we could do it with kids. Unfortunately, we cannot, but wishful thinking, maybe one day in the future.
In the data world, how can semantic security rules be implemented effectively across the data landscape, in your opinion?
Well, first, we need to realize that data is constantly in motion. We have cloud migration projects. We are moving our older data assets into a new data storage. So data is going to be constantly in motion. And as it's moving, it's much easier to use the semantic definition rather than re-implementing policies at the data source or the consumer level. However, there are certain use cases where you may want to continue having a hybrid approach. For instance, you may want to continue to reuse your existing policies you have created at your data sources. You already invested all of the effort there. You invested your resources. You might as well reuse what you have created and combine that with the semantic approach. Here's an example. You have a UNESCO like myself trying to access the data, and I'm going to do a hybrid approach. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to take a user Inessa, and Zenodo is going to propagate the user Inessa credentials to my data source, doing like a pass-through. I'm going to get information from the data source based on the local policy as defined on the data source. And then in the Zenodo form, I can add additional restrictions or additional policies based on the semantic. So you have this nice balance of doing access controls, which you have currently implemented at the data source level, and combining it with additional layer of security and the semantic definition. This is frequently being used when you do have regional regulations or when you truly have a distributed environment across different geographic locations where you need to have multiple layers of access controls depending on the region, and then depending on the corporate definition.
This brings me to my last question as a part of our discussion today. Can you take us through a case study where an organization has benefited from semantics with Tenodo, maybe in a data fabric environment?
Definitely. So I'm going to use an example of a mobile provider where one of the challenges when it comes to mobile providers, as with any service providers, is customer satisfaction. And to ensure that when the customer calls you for support, the service, and I'm sure we all experienced it as well, that your support agent has access to all of your customer data quickly in a unified portal is very important. So they don't need to ask you 20 different questions. They don't need to go into 10 different systems to get your information. They can see everything they need to see about you, and they can resolve your issue. So use case we have is actual Ultra Mobile, which is on our website, is that as the company was expanding, one of the challenges they were facing is data in motion. They had multiple data assets, multiple data sources, and they used Zenodo to create this unified layer, the semantic definition, on top of their distributed data source environment. They were actually using many Excel documents and file-based systems as well. So they were able to present the unified view of their consumer to their support team. This actually resulted in as much as 22% of customer satisfaction improvement in some of their destinations. Think about it, 22%, a huge jump in customer satisfaction. And this is what we're looking into. Having Zenodo platform give you a unified view across your data sets, giving your consumers ability to see what they can access quickly in a secure fashion and use that information to improve the business is the goal. And this is why we work with our clients to make sure that our capabilities fit their requirements.
No wonder the customer satisfaction levels have increased by 22%. And that definitely tells a lot about Zenodo as a product for sure. So thank you so much for talking to us about this topic today. It was really informative, and I'm sure our listeners enjoyed it immensely as well. But before we conclude our session today, we just have a short question and answer round for you. Are you ready to get started?
Absolutely.
Perfect. So one of my questions for you is, if you had to name one, what is one of your favorite travel destinations?
Well, there's so many, but I do enjoy traveling Europe. I did quite extensive travel in the past. However, my favorite destinations would actually be in South America. And if I had to pinpoint one, it would be Galapagos Islands, because I truly enjoyed the wildlife and untouched nature without any human intervention. And having that option to roam the island with the iguanas and all of the other beautiful creatures next to you, it's just amazing. So yeah, I would go with the Galapagos Islands.
That sounds beautiful, Anessa. Thank you so much. And the last question for today is, if you had to name one hobby, how would you like to spend your free time?
Yes, the free time, I would say spending it with my family, because family is the most important thing. And doing some outdoor activities, swimming, or anything that has to come with nature would be my favorite thing.
Wonderful. Thanks again for joining us. Well, listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.